At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Now, stop humming, it's everything to change. That warp tool make you open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint that I know they gon' copy. Stop humming, intros always go. Cause this is America's game.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to America's Game, episode number 97. I'm your host, Eric Vanek. You can find me on X at Eric Vanek NFL. You can also find the show at America's Game Pod on X as well. And this week, I am joined by returning guest, Maddie Kiwu. Maddie, what's going on, buddy?
I'm doing good. Dude, I got to give a quick shout out to our guy, Fizz. That intro hits every time it comes on. And I don't know if people know this, but I help post the pods. So when I download America's Game every week, obviously it starts playing the second it's done downloading, and you hear the beat kick in. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm listening to it real quick. I'm just gonna listen to the intro. Shout out, Fizz.
Yeah, it is perfect. And I wish we could get back on the YouTube too, because the video that Adam made for it is fucking awesome too. So
it is good.
I got both on there, the video and the audio. I got home runs on those. So yeah, shout out to Adam and Fizz on those. But yeah, man, what's been going on, man? Have you been doing any redrafts or not redrafts, startups or anything like that?
I'm still in the startup mode. Rookie draft season's in full effect, you know, at the very at heart of it. I still play a lot of Dynasty, but I'm gonna start firing up some of these, like, you know, FFPCs. I've been doing underdog best ball all year. We're sickos, you know, we never stop. So I got plenty of drafts going. I'm actually in a bit of a lull right now. I went back and forth with this one guy in a league regarding trades, and he was a nice enough guy, but man, the guys that just badger you, they just like, so this has to do it. Trade calculator. I'm like, go check out the warp, dog. No, I'm not doing this cockamamie trade.
Yeah.
It's just, I needed a break. I needed to just go, you know what? I'm only going to look at my teams if I see a notification for a couple days. Just give me a breather. Boom. But now I think I'm at the end of that. So I'm about to jump back in.
Yeah. I'm definitely excited to start getting into some best ball, because I know, gosh, shout out to Dr. B and Skeletor in our Discord chats. Like, those guys have been hitting the best ball mania streets pretty hard. I think they're like, oh, I think Skeletor's up at like 60-something drafts already, something crazy. So those guys have already been getting deep into it, but I haven't started yet. I'm going to start here, and that kind of goes with this episode a little bit. I kind of want to talk about our redraft rankings. We did start our redraft ranking sheet that is going to be available to the public here, hopefully within the next week or two or so. Got a couple things to just finish up on it, but once we get that live, it'll be available for purchase for everybody, which is going to be sweet. Maddie's rankings will be on there, mine, Seth's on there, and we'll get all that together for you guys. You guys will be able to purchase it, use it for your home leagues, use it for Best Ball Mania, FFPC, whatever you guys want to use it for. But yeah, I'm excited to get into our redraft ranks and kind of talk about it, see the differences between yours and mine, because I just finished mine this morning, to be honest. And then I hadn't really looked at Maddie's until just now. So we have a couple differences that we can definitely talk about.
Yeah, it's redraft season, baby. I love it. If you're a redraft sicko, like you're a dynasty sicko. I know if you're on South Harmon Podcast Network, you're definitely a dynasty sicko. But if you like redraft too, Eric and I drop in videos on the South Harmon Fantasy Football Channel on YouTube. Him and I've been dropping videos basically at least once a week, and that's only going to ramp up as we go forward. So make sure you check us out there too.
Yeah, we're going to be doing some videos there. Already a couple posted by Maddie, myself, and Seth as well that are all on there. So, yeah, check those out. Give them likes, comments, all that good stuff. We could always use that. Subscribe to the channel. Let's get into it, man. I'm excited for this. So I was looking at it, and between me and you, you have Jalen Hurts at 2. I have him at 4. How come you have Jalen Hurts at 2? That one kind of stood out to me right at the beginning.
Jalen Hurts, the amount of consistency he's had since 2021 is something I definitely lean heavy on this early in the process. Kind of just put, resting on my laurels, and Tush Push did not get eliminated. So we're still expecting the rushing upside in terms of the touchdown output. And the year that Saquon Barkley had, I'm not saying he's going to have a bad year, but last year was such a wildly positive year for running backs. I'm just a little more tepid overall at the running back position this early in the process. So let's just say Barkley has a regression. He doesn't have as much as a productive season. Some of that goes Jalen Hurts' way. That's the number. That's what we're looking at to keep him at quarterback two. When we're that early in the rankings, you could pick your poison with the top four, in my opinion, the big Konami code guys. And so that's where you can kind of pick your flavor here. But Hurts, everything's just going right. And I just look at over 21 points per game over the last 4 years. Consistency, I love that.
Yeah, I think one of the things, too, with the Eagles, they do have the fourth toughest strength of schedule. So that gave me a little bit of pause on Hurts, too. And I just think Lamar and Jaden are a little bit better throwers as far as what they've been doing lately, especially Jaden last year. Lamar had a 40 touchdown passes. I just don't think Jalen is ever going to get to 40 touchdown passes in a season like that, while still having the rushing upside. But I agree with you that Jalen Hurts at the goal line, definitely that's going to be a plus with the Tush Push soon. Still in there. He's got a good playoff schedule too. Vegas, at Washington, at Buffalo. That Buffalo game could be a, back and forth kind of scoring game, so they're going to need him in that one. Lamar's got Pitt at Cincinnati, New England, at Green Bay. So not like some tougher defenses. New England, I think, is going to be a lot better than people think. Green Bay's, they're always middle of the road. So I think Lamar's got a nice playoff schedule too. But yeah, I was just curious why you had Jalen like above Lamar, who won the MVP last year. But good conversation on that for sure.
Yeah, Lamar's my number 3, so I definitely still love Lamar. And the thing about Lamar, he's just, again, this far out from football, he's had an injury, like an injury kind of late in season where Hurts has just been on the field. So, like, those little edges, that's where I kind of lie this time of year.
Yeah. And then one of the other things you brought up, too, that I was going to bring up later, but we can get into it now, is Saquon Barkley. There hasn't been a repeat running back one season overall since I think it was Todd Gurley me and Barry were looking at earlier. So could Barkley, the statistics and all that say, hey, he's not going to repeat as RB1 again this year. So we both still have him as RB1. It's kind of hard not to put Saquon Barkley at RB1 overall, but like the odds and everything is telling us that, hey, it's going to be somebody else that probably finishes as RB1. I still think Barkley's going to be, as long as he's healthy, at minimum top 5 running back in the league, and probably higher than that.
So, yeah, the thing about Saquon, too, that really just sticks out in terms of his performance profile last year, 33 receptions. His, previous low in a game, in a season where he wasn't hurt all year like he was in 2020, his previous low was 41.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like a lot, but if that's a couple more points a game, you can lose a touchdown here. You can – you know what I'm saying? There is a little bit of give and take because he has a 91 reception season under his belt.
Yeah.
So, yeah, rookie year. This guy's upside is bananas. So I'm with you. And I think a lot of times, again, maybe we're pulling back the curtain, but I think we should talk about it. This time of the year, we're not necessarily ranking based on what we think they're going to finish. Mm-hmm. It's we're trying to give advice to the people who check out South Harmon. And our rankings are supposed to be like, what you would do, what would your advice be? And you're not going to tell anybody to not take Saquon in the first round of fantasy, of redraft. So it's just like, at this time of year, what are we supposed to do? Now, we're looking at OTAs, and maybe someone, Bijan, looks a little bit more, or we're hearing some stuff out of Gibbs, like a more of like a 75% opportunity share with David Montgomery healthy, some kind of pivotal change after Ben Johnson left. Then we can start making changes. But at this point, Eric, like, don't fix what ain't broke.
Right, and that's where I think the tiers come in, too. So, like, I have five guys in my tier one at running backs, and those are basically the guys that I think can go all in the first round of our redraft leagues. So, would I fault you for taking Christian McCaffrey, who I have at number five, as the RB1? No. Like, we don't really know. Like, McCaffrey could easily smash again this year, be healthy, and be the RB1 again. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that's in the range of outcomes. So, like, if you took any of these RBs that I have in my top tier, one overall, I wouldn't blame me on that. I think probability for me is I'd probably still take Barkley, but I definitely want to mix it up too. Like, I'm sure I haven't done too many underdog drafts yet, but I'm sure it's probably, Barkley's the first running back off the board 95% of the time.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So, we'll keep on with the quarterbacks. So we'll go back to quarterbacks here. One that I found really interesting when I was looking at the underdog ADP, Justin Fields is quarterback 10. And I just think that is way too fucking high for me. What are your thoughts on Justin Fields this year?
So Justin Fields actually made my latest video that you can see on the South Harmon Fantasy Football channel for league winners. I am at QB 12, so I'm not quite as rich, but it's the rushing upside for me. And what really stuck out last year, his warp per game. I know he got the shaft, right? They put in Russ after six games. His warp per game was third highest quarterback. After him, the Baker Mayfields, Jaden Daniels, we know what that meant full scale of the season. If he was on the field all year and performed, he would have been as valuable as any quarterback in the league. So to get him at quarterback 10, I think it's rich, but in the streets of underdog, you're going to see more sharks swimming in the seas, right? So they're going to get a little bit more aggressive. But I think Justin Fields, when we get into the thick of redrafts, when we're doing our office leagues, our family leagues, he's going to be the quarterback that's probably going to come off the board QB 13 to 15. You kind of look at it. So I'm splitting the difference here at 12. Now, let me ask you this. Trying to predict the future here, so you can't completely give me an answer, but what would be your opinion when the August comes, the thick of redraft season? Do you think Dak Prescott or Fields goes first?
I think people will take Fields, but I think I would take Dak before him. I have Dak rated above him right now. I have Fields at 15. I just think that 10 was way too high for me. I understand the rushing upside, and I'm one of the guys who always preaches the rushing upside. Yeah. I just don't know where the passing upside's coming from. Like, it's literally Garrett Wilson and Mason Taylor, and that's it, boys. Like, there ain't nothing else there. Like, that's where it scares me.
Josh Reynolds? You don't think Josh Reynolds' resurgence there in New York? Alan Lazard, pay cut season?
Like, if I were to take a second receiver on the Jets, it's Arian Smith, who was like a fifth-round rookie.
No Malachi? You don't want any baby Debo?
No. He was fucking awful last year. Whole new regime. They didn't draft him, so I kind of think he's kind of buried. Lazard, there's always been trade talks about Lazard. Like, I don't even know if he is even going to be there week one. Reynolds is a solid veteran, sure, but that's, maybe get you 600 yards? Like, I think it's going to be Mason Taylor, and they're going to have to kind of lean on Breece Hall and maybe Isaiah Davis a little bit.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But I would be shocked if Fields has over 3,300 passing yards and over 25 touchdown passes. I just don't see it. I think it's more of kind of like Kyler Murray last year. I think he had 19 touchdown passes. I kind of could see Fields in that range. Hopefully he can get over 3,000 passing yards in a full season. I mean, I acknowledge that there's a pretty damn good possibility he has 800 to 1,000 rushing yards. I think that's pretty easy that you can bank on. I don't see the passing upside, and I see a lot of these guys that I have ranked ahead of him, Drake Mays, Justin Herbert's, Dak Prescott. I just see them throwing the ball a little bit better and, not having similar rushing upside, but they're going to have some rushing upside. I think the one person I mentioned was Dak, And people are just down on him, too. Like, that guy has finished quarterback 2, 7, 8, and 8, like, the last 4 years or something crazy like that. Or he's had those finishes in his career. Yeah, I think Dak's kind of underrated. A guy that you could get as your back-end quarterback 1 to the very first quarterback 2, and that guy might produce for you. And he's got probably the 2 best receivers he's ever played with this year in Pickens and CeeDee Lamb. And then you add in Jake Ferguson, too. I mean, I think Dak could have a really good season.
Dak could definitely come back. I mean, we've seen him throw an insane
amount. No running game, really, either, too.
No, they're going to need him. And the urgency will be there in Dallas. I imagine pedal to the metal all season long. Yeah. You just hope that, you know, Brian Schottenheimer, first-time head coach, doesn't get too over skis, but he's been there, so he knows what to expect.
Yeah, I mean, he's more of known as a rushing coordinator. He's always been guy, run the ball. I just don't think they're going to be able to in Dallas. Like, I think the defense is middle of the pack at best, and they don't really have the horses to run the ball. Like, I'm not giving the ball to Jaden Blue 250, 300 times as a rusher.
No,
there's Javonte and Sanders. Like, I think they're mediocre at best. Yeah, so I don't know. I see Dak having a really big season, so I kind of wanted to put him above Fields and a couple of these other guys. I have Drake May at 14, and I know you're the resident Patriots fan. You got him at 7. So why do you have Drake May up so high?
I was actually going to ask you about your thoughts on May, because you brought him up as someone you would take over Fields, and I would too, just a lot higher. So breaking down my ranks right now, I'm just heavily leaning on Konami, predictability with the run.
Yeah.
So right now for Drake May, the value's there. And to be quarterback 7, like last year, we're looking at Bo Nix. Bo Nix was the quarterback 7, I believe, overall. Yes. All right. So to get there, 29 passing touchdowns, only 4 rushing. In a full season, Drake May with this weaponry, new coach in town, Josh McDaniels, very, very good for quarterback development. I would expect similar numbers in the passing game. I think he might be 25 touchdowns in the air instead of 29, but last year, Drake May had 2 rushing touchdowns in the 13 games as opposed to Bo Nix's 4. I think, you know, 5, 6, 7 rushing touchdowns, that upside is there. And we saw the mobility of Drake May. 421 mm-hmm. rushing yards last year, about 7 yards per zip. And the number that's kind of okay being a little optimistic for May, his completion percentage was 66.7 last year. He completed 2/3 of his passes. That's pretty much the same rate as Bo Nix. So I think with the more volume, the second year development, I think he can maintain that marker. And so if that's the standard of accuracy you really kind of have to have to maintain all those other numbers and be a top 10 QB in fantasy, I think Drake May has all those intangibles and then the upside too. So at this point of the season, I'm really just kind of planting my flag in the second year quarterbacks. I mean, in my ranks 6, 7, and 8, Caleb, Drake May, Bo Nix, I'm kind of just planting my flag on that next wave.
Okay. Yeah, I know an underdog May is, I think he was around 13, 14. So that's kind of where I have him right now, too. I definitely see the upside of what you're talking about because he has the rushing and the passing. I just don't know if the weapons are going to be there. Like, I think it really depends on if Stephon Diggs is actually healthy and can play, you know, 80%, 90% of what we're used to of Stephon Diggs. Kyle Williams, he's been, you know, you follow New England. He's been the talk of OTAs up there, doing really good, which we all expected. So, yeah, it kind of just really depends on those guys. I really like Travion and Ramondre as a combo. I think that's going to be a really good combo there. I can definitely move May up, but it's so hard. Like, I see the upside cases for a lot of these guys. Like, you know, Kyler Murray, I think he's going to run the ball a lot more this year. He kind of talked about, hey, I know I got away from the run last year. I'm going to get back to it. I could see, you know, Kyler getting back up into the 700, 800 rushing yard range. You know, Caleb Williams with the new coach and Ben Johnson, and he's got good weapons. You know, Brock Purdy still has really good weapons, even though they lost Debo. Like, you know, Pearsall coming, you know, year 2. Jennings is really coming to his own. Ayuk's coming off a major injury, but McCaffrey's back. So, yeah, I mean, there's so many really good quarterbacks. I really feel strong about, like, honestly, the top 18, maybe 20. Like, you get down to 19, I got Stroud. Like, C.J. Stroud was going in, like, the top 5 last year of quarterbacks.
Right.
McCarthy I really like. Like, Kevin O'Connell made Sam Darnold quarterback fucking six last year. So McCarthy, yep, I think, has a shot to exceed expectations. I could see Matt Stafford pulling out a fucking 40 touchdown season with Puka and Devontae Adams there. He got a new tight end. So, like, there's definitely, I think it's pretty quarterback rich for me, like at the top 23 or so. After that, I kind of sour on the rest of the guys. But yeah, I think the quarterback classes this year is really strong for redraft.
You forgot one guy. I want to get your opinion on this because you mentioned Matt Stafford, 40 touchdowns. In a sick and twisted world, I could see Michael Penix going for 40 touchdowns.
Yeah, I just think with
indoors,
that,
Zach Robinson, Drake May, Drake London, he's got the weapons. I mean, if Bijan just has five receiving touchdowns instead of three of those being rushing or whatever, you know what I mean? Just like the natural ball. Like, it's an outlier, and I have Michael Penix at QB 25, so it's not like I'm sitting here advocating. Yeah. But I'm just looking at it, and you're mentioning how rich it is at quarterback, and I completely agree. And as you're counting down your list, I'm like, yeah, I got Goff at 18. Goff's been the top 10 quarterback two years in a row.
Yeah, I have him at 16.
Trevor Lawrence, QB 16. If Brian Thomas and Trevor and Travis Hunter are just exactly what we think they are, I mean, can't he be a top 10 quarterback? And then that made me think Michael Penix. In that offense, you know, they're talking about him. You're seeing him in OTAs. He's going to get the ball from jump indoors, like a softer schedule. It just feels like in those sick and twisted world, Penix could go off. So you're right. The QB class feels pretty dense.
Yeah, Atlanta is – yeah, they're like middle of the road of strength of schedule towards like the, you know, lower 20s there. So that's a good point. I just think for me, like, yeah, Drake London, love him. Bijan, love him. Kyle Pitts has just never hit for us ever.
He has,
like,
not, yes.
Expecting him to get just 8 touchdowns or 7 touchdowns, I think even that's kind of rich. Like, so Kyle Pitts would have to take a step forward. I like Mooney, but I just don't see Mooney being, you know, an 8 to 9 touchdown guy. I don't see the other weapons there, though, either. You know, that's like, it's London, it's Bijan, and that's about it for me. So I don't see him getting to 40. Could he get to 30? I think that's possible, but I'm betting it's probably more like 27, 28.
I've predicted a 40 touchdown, you know, bold take type thing before, and it was Kirk Cousins, and he popped his Achilles. So, you know, you're not always right about these things.
Yeah, no, I mean, it happens. And I saw you had Caleb pretty high too. I thought I was high on him at 10, but I think you had him at 6. Did you have him above Mahomes?
I do have him above Mahomes. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a little rich for me, but what do you like him with Caleb?
For me, I just the prospect has always been there. We're only a year removed from studying the prospect, and now he has Ben Johnson. Right. The offense on paper is going to be one of the most played Madden offenses. How can it not? Ben Johnson's offense with, you know, Odunze, DJ Moore, Luther Burden, Colston Loveland, Cole Kmet, Roshan, and D. Swift. I mean, it's going to be electric. And I'm just betting on the prospect. And at this point, Patrick Mahomes has let us down as fantasy managers like for 3 years. I saw this with Brady. And it's no shade to the player. He don't give a piss about these games on Monday Night Football when you need a win to get into the playoffs. He don't give a shit when, you know, it's Christmas Day and they're just trying to sneak out with a 10-7 win. And the urgency for stats is gone. I saw this with Brady. The great ones know how to take a back seat, and I think we might be there. Could he just say, no, fuck it, I'm going scorched earth? Sure. Yeah. That's why I have him at QB9. He's still there for me. But if we're just talking about kind of trying to predict the future here, I've just been burned by Mahomes enough, and I've seen the flashes enough in a totally washed season for Caleb. I mean, that Thanksgiving game against Detroit, you saw it. Even the game against Washington, people forget because of the Hail Mary. He should have beaten Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
He should have beaten Jane Daniels. And it was a tough, ballsy drive. He made ballsy plays. The kids got it. And I'm just hoping the football gods, you know, shine some light on the Chicago Bears fan base as a whole, to be honest, this year.
Yeah, I might have to move him up a spot or two as well. I mean, he did get the offensive line upgrade, like a massive fucking offensive line upgrade, like every spot.
Yes.
And Mahomes, yeah, I get it. Like, if you look at his like rushing numbers in the playoffs, like he runs more in the playoffs when it comes when it's on the line. When it's on the line, he'll run it. In the fucking regular season, you don't give a shit. So
yeah,
yeah, that's a good point. Mahomes has definitely disappointed us the last couple of years. If you kind of look at a lot of the rankings right now, he's definitely you know, he's used to being quarterback one or two off the board. Now he's six, seven, somewhere in that range, too. The one other one I wanted to talk about, too, Baker. I have him at QB7 coming off just a fucking massive season. You have him at quarterback 10, so we're not too far off of each other. Right. Do you think – I mean, I'm not expecting 40-something touchdown passes again, but do you think he can get in, like, the high 30s and, you know, still be a quarterback one for us?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do. And we've seen now his resiliency to change. We've seen him now going four different teams. I don't know, maybe 22 different offensive coordinators. And he's just, he'll figure it out. So the loss of Liam Coleman, although it's probably big, I think philosophically he'll be fine. And then the weaponry, they have four really, really good receivers. Mike Evans, when Chris Godwin's healthy, first round pick, Emeka Egbuken, of course, Jalen McMillan. The touchdown the 41 touchdowns is what we're betting on. And like I said, it would be a sick, twisted world for Michael Penix to get 40. I don't think it would be that sick and twisted for Mayfield to push 40 again with that weaponry and that team. Yeah. He is balls to the wall. He's like the anti Mahomes in terms of how we love him for fantasy, because he could be down by 21 points in the fourth and he's slinging and you get the garbage time. If Mahomes is down by 21 points in October, I guarantee you, my friend, he is not going to be, you know, getting cheap fantasy points. He's going to go ahead and put the brakes on. We'll fight another day next week. That's just the difference, and that matters for us in redraft, especially because we're not looking at the 3-year window. We're looking at the 1 year. Can I get a ship this year?
Yeah. I think so. Overall, the quarterback spot for me, I think if I can get Josh Allen, Lamar, Jalen Hurts around the 2-3 turn and then into the third round, you know, I'm just going to press the button on those guys. Like, they're historically just finish as the top quarterbacks every single year.
Yeah.
And they keep producing, and they're such a difference maker. So if I can get one of those in round, you know, late two and then round three, I can get one of those guys, I'll do it. If not, I feel okay, like, being the last guy to get my quarterback then. Like, I'm fine rolling in with Dak Prescott or Brock Purdy or Caleb, Bo Nix, Baker Mayfield as my quarterback. Like, I'm fine with that. Just – if I don't have to pay up for, I'll pay up for the one, you know, one of the top guys. If not, I'll just kind of sit back and wait. I think that's kind of how I'm going to be playing it this year. How about you?
Exactly. So the way my rankings would kind of suggest is I'm aggressive for the top four guys that you mentioned. I'll take Burrow at value if he falls. Yeah. And then I'm just waiting for the second year guys, the Williams, May, Knicks range. And if there's a sharp room and I lose them, then I'll fall back on the Mahomes, Mayfield, Murrays. After that, though, I am punting until I just grab some sort of mixture of Michael Penix and Trevor Lawrence and just hope I get the Ryan Tannehill of this year type thing coming out of nowhere. So, yeah, I'm kind of the same way philosophically with drafting right now.
All right, one last question on the quarterbacks. After, like, the top 15, let's say, who do you think is the guy from like 16 to 32 that you think could finish as a quarterback one that you would love to get this year?
For me, I'm going to be really cheap here. I'm sorry. I'm going to kind of take the easy road. It's going to be my QB 16, Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence, yep.
He still moves. He's an athletic guy. And then he's Liam Cohen. We saw what he did for quarterbacks over the last few years in his different stops. So I think of those guys, he's probably the one I see with the upside. Kind of in my rankings, the Geno Smiths. I don't mind him, the Bryce Youngs, but I think they're kind of capped at, you know, QB12 would be their holy shit season.
Right.
Trevor could get inside that top 12 and be like, yeah, you know, he did rush 7 touchdowns. You know, he had 2 cheapies. You know what I mean? Like, there's some range of outcomes where Trevor Lawrence has a big season.
Yeah, and he's not a bad runner at all. Like, he can run for 400 yards and a couple touchdowns. So that was going to definitely be one of my guys, but I'm going to go with somebody different. I'm going to go with my current quarterback 20, who I might move up, and that's J.J. McCarthy. Like, you know, coming basically his rookie season, you look at the weapons, Jefferson, Addison, Ty Felton, Hockenson, Aaron Jones, Really, really good weaponry. Very good offensive line. They really upgraded the interior of their offensive line. Two new guards and a center. And we saw what O'Connell did with Darnold last year, quarterback six. Like, I think McCarthy's a little more talented than Darnold was personally. So if McCarthy can just play within the system, not make, you know, a ton of mistakes, I think he has a little bit of rushing ability to, you know, get 250, 300 rushing yards, maybe a score or two, and then just deliver the ball to Jefferson and Hawkinson and these guys. And I think definitely a possibility McCarthy could throw for like 35 touchdowns and be a quarterback one for us. So that's definitely, if I can get that guy as my backup quarterback who could eventually be my number one quarterback, I think I'll go with McCarthy.
He's the guy that from my version 1.0 to 1.1 or 2.0, whatever you go to next, he's going to skyrocket, because you're right. The intangibles are there. And this is the type of kid that we were saying 2 years ago, if he could get a year to just learn what it would do for his development, well, he got that.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, let's go ahead. We'll kick over to the running backs here. I think the running backs are, you know, fairly easy, a lot, you know, different than our dynasty rankings, just because we got McCaffrey up here. We got Derrick Henry. We both have McCaffrey pretty high. You have McCaffrey over Genty. I think if McCaffrey proves that he's healthy in camp, McCaffrey's going to go over Genty for sure. Maybe over Gibbs at some point. Right now, I just have him behind Genty, but I definitely can move that here if we get some better news on McCaffrey. But yeah, what are your thoughts here on like the two old horses, McCaffrey and Henry?
I got, you know, top four, Christian McCaffrey and Derrick Henry at seven. We've seen McCaffrey come back from injury, because he lost 2 years in Carolina. He was written off.
Yep.
And if you would have acquired him then in Dynasty, the subsequent two seasons might have been league winning performances. Then last year, it you know, fucking sucked. He got hurt. He looks spry. The Twitter doctors are talking about, like, at least they're not negative. It's not really positive, because you can't tell till his defenders, but the speed looks there, the sharpness looks there. And if I'm going to bet on anybody to perform, it's Christian McCaffrey. He's just one of those special athletes of this generation. So, and Derrick Henry, you could just say ditto. When you play this game long enough, Eric, like we have, it's just sometimes you don't have to make fantasy as difficult as some people in the space wants it to be like. The guy who's done it, yeah, could he get hurt? So could anybody. Everyone could get hurt. And Derrick Henry is just a horse worth betting on. Christian McCaffrey has just been historically a horse worth betting on.
I'm with you on that for sure. Like, man, he just has the RB1 upside every single season. It's hard not to take that guy in the first round. Yeah, you're taking a risk, but man, it's a huge risk if it pays off. And if it doesn't, it sinks your team almost. So it depends on your what kind of risk you like to take. If you're okay taking that guy, that could be RB1 overall, or it could be RB75 overall and come out of seven games. And
right, exactly. I mean, but last year it happened to Breece Hall. Everyone was healthy at this position except Breece Hall. And who was the first quarter, running back pretty much in the conversation? Breece Hall. So the inherent risk is there because it's football. I'm going to bet on what I can actually see in the, you know, trust of my wisdoms, you know, my experiences of playing this game, watching this game. And at this point, when there aren't anyone getting tackled, the age 31 and a half for Derrick Henry just does not hurt as much.
Yep. How about Derrick Henry? What do you think about him this year?
He's a stud. They didn't do anything to take away touches, and they're not going to take away touches. I mean, they didn't get a tight end that might take some screens. They didn't get another running back that's going to take any touches. They didn't get the receiver they did bring in is D-Hop.
Yeah.
So the offense is going to look like it did in 2024. So, again, I'm not discounting. I'm not throwing injuries away right now. It doesn't matter. So Derrick Henry is number seven for me. He's a value, too, because he gets the old man treatment, which I love for redraft.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on Henry. I have him at six. Our six and seven flip-flop, you have a chain higher. And I get that with the PPR upside for a chain. But, yeah, I just have Derrick Henry there. Like, that dude's a walking double-digit touchdowns single season.
Every year.
Every year. So it's like I'm just going to take the double-digit touchdown guy. If I can get him in round two, I'm taking him. Like, I might not take him in round one, but round two, I'll definitely take him. you know, a chain I just mentioned, PPR upside. Like, if you look at his, I think he had maybe one or two games last year where he ran for over 100 yards. I can actually look it up here real quick because I have him on this team I have pulled up. But, yeah, I mean, a chain last year was really good receiving the ball. Absolutely just killed it there in the receiving. I think he had 60-something catches. Yeah, a chain had 2 100-yard games last year, and it was week 16 and week 18.
Yeah.
So week 18 didn't even help you at all. Week 16, yeah, he helped you. And that was against San Francisco, but San Francisco was beat up by then with injuries. But, yeah, I mean, a chain never had that, like, his rookie season where he had these, like, 70, 80-yard runs and crazy, you know, plays like that. They just didn't happen last year. So I think that comes more into play again this year, too, with the chain. And on top of it, hopefully not as much volume. Like, I don't want to run this guy into the fucking ground. But I think, yeah, I think the upside's there, especially with the PPR upside for a chain.
I think in Miami, too, this is just a hunch. With the health of Tua Tagovailoa, with the, you know, maybe health concerns with Tyreek Hill after last year kind of being hurt most of the year and the surgeries now in the offseason, maybe Mike McDaniel goes to his roots. He was the running game architect, you know, of the Kyle Shanahan, you know, system. He was the quintessential run game guy. And now he's got a backfield that is pretty dynamic. A-Shane's there, Jalen Wright is there, and Ollie Gordon, all 6'3", 235 pounds of him, is there. He has a nice little running back room that I think keeps A-Chain at the top of fantasy, and if there is an injury, one of those other guys becomes fantastic.
I mean, how dare you leave out Alexander Mattison? Like, what are we doing here?
Oh, yeah. But, hey, Jeff Wilson was still on that team for a while. Mike McDaniel
they've always had four. Mostert walked, Jeff Wilson walked. You know, they kept obviously keeping Jalen Wright, drafted Ollie Gordon, brought in Mattison. So, yeah, I think they're still going to have their four guys, but none of those guys scare me to, like, take a chain off of this 20 touch per game kind of player. So, definitely like a chain a lot. Jonathan Taylor, too, man. Like, the way he ended last year, like, he was a fucking machine. Like, I really and bold on him, especially with their quarterback situation, Richardson and Daniel Jones. Like, as long as Taylor, you know, keeps it going, man, like, I think he's another guy that I really, really like this year. Just kind of looking at his stats to end the year last year. Week 13, 25 carries, 96 yards, 23 for 107, 29 for 218, 32 for 125, 34 for 177 to end the year. Like, dude had monster fucking games, especially at the end of last year. I think they're, let's see their strength of schedule. I think they're like in the middle of the pack to bottom. Yeah, they're towards the bottom here. So, like, the whole AFC South is down there. Playoff schedule for JT. He's got at Seattle, San Francisco at home, Jacksonville at home. So, yeah, maybe a couple tougher defenses, but nothing that scares me.
He's in this tier for me, and all these redraft sickos will know exactly what I'm talking about. Yep. He's in the range for me that I will not draft, but he will be my number one trade target in week 8 if this is a contending roster. Like, so from 8 to 12 – Breece Hall, Bucky Irving, Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs, Kyren Williams. I have not been getting any of those in the drafts because their ADPs are a little too high after last year's running back resurgence. Everyone was healthy. It was just sunshine and rainbows all over the place. This tier of running backs I like. I'm not going to tell people not to draft him if you like him. But where they're going, I'm passing. But if my team's winning and I need a running back, this is going to be my number one tier because the upside's there, the consistency there, the type of player, the league winners is in this range. We've seen Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs, Kyren Williams just absolutely carry teams throughout points of the season. So this tier's obviously big for me, top, you know, running back one range inside my top 12. But this is just funny that looking at it now, these guys just, I have not gotten like anything in, but they will be the first guys that I check in on if I need to bolster that starting lineup.
Are these guys you don't want to take in round two or round
That's
three?
Right. Okay. That's just what it is. I'm just not taking them round two, round three. But I, if they fall, I'm not opposed to taking them. Like I said, they're running, right. They're in my running back one range, but it just, when I just, as it's played out, I've just either taken one of the guys at the top or I'm just double tapping running back, you know, handful of rounds later.
Yeah. Cause I like a lot of these guys. Taylor, I think Irving is set up for a good year. Like,
yep.
The Packers just ran their entire offense through Josh Jacobs. Like, I just can't discount that guy. I have Chase Brown at 11. I think Chase Brown, they didn't bring in anybody to really take anything from him. So I think Chase Brown set up for each year.
I got a lot of Chase Brown because he goes a handful of rounds later. And I have him at 13, but he was a top five running back. People need to go back and look at how good he was for that team when he did not have to go up, you know, if he wasn't sharing that backfield with Zach Moss. It was a drastic change. And even with Zach Moss in the backfield, he was still, I think it was 11 points per game. Last year, Chase Brown was the 21st most valuable player in fantasy football, the 21st highest WARP overall. That's how good he was.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have him a little higher than you. I have him at 11, so I'm definitely a little bit higher than him. The one that scares me the most that I could be the most wrong on and that everybody could be the most wrong on is Breece Hall at 12. He's never had a 1,000-yard season. I know all that stuff, but, man, like, he's caught 60 balls, and there isn't a lot of guys to throw the ball there, too. The offensive line is improved. Like, they have, like, first-round picks at every spot, it seems like. And they're going to be a run-first team. They're not throwing the ball. You know, if Justin Fields has to throw the ball more than 30 times a game, you know, it's not looking good for the Jets. So I think Breece Hall is one of those guys. Like, if you get him as your RB2, maybe even RB3, fucking do a backflip, man, because Breece Hall, I think, could be really big league winner for this year for where you're getting him.
Still just 24 years old, too.
Yeah. I mean, he's great. Kyren, I'm a little scared of. Like, he dodged the bullet last year of third round running back Blake Corum, but then they just drafted another one this year in Jarquez Hunter. Like, can he dodge the bullet 2 years in a row? I just don't think so. And I think they've even talked about scaling Kyren Williams back a little bit too. So I'm not as high on like Kyren Williams. The one I definitely want to get your opinion on, he goes a lot higher than where I have him ranked. I have him at 17, and that's O'Marrion Hampton, the running back for the Chargers. Where do you have him, and what's your thoughts on Hampton this year?
So I have Hampton at 14, so we're not too far off. The upside for it is just this human being in Harbaugh's offense is just, and we know how hit rates are for first round running backs. I know Najee's there, but it feels to me you don't take this guy in the first round if you're the Chargers when they were the edge rushers that were available. And they could use an edge rusher if you're not going to use O'Marrion Hampton. And we know Najee's been good. Najee's been good on volume. He hasn't been great on volume since his rookie year. O'Marrion can be great without volume. So the tandem to me, I think, is there. And I'm just going to bet on that human being performing. Now, if Najee wasn't there, though, Eric, where would you have him? Because
He would definitely be probably above Kyren for me. So right behind Breece Hall, probably 13.
If Najee wasn't there, I'd probably have O'Marrion Hampton a spot or two behind Jinty, to be fair.
Yeah, that's why I have Hampton back a few. It's because they're not going to not use Najee. They didn't pay
him. They're going to use Najee.
They didn't pay him $9 million to ride the fucking bench. So that's kind of where I'm at. And everybody that I have above him is pretty much locked in as like the horse on their team. Like, I noticed on Underdog, Kamara goes behind Hampton. I'd rather have Kamara just because he's locked and loaded as the RB1 there. It's Devin Neal and Kendre Miller behind him, like unproven guys. I mean, Kamara set up for a monster fucking workload season. I would rather have that over Hampton. I have RJ Harvey a spot above Hampton just because the PPR upside, man. Like, RJ Harvey can catch 60, 70 balls. I don't see Hampton doing that. And then Harvey should be the lead back there too. I would take Harvey over Hampton. So I think I'm definitely behind consensus. I might not get a lot of Hampton, but I think I'm okay with it.
Harvey, for me, I have him at 19, but he's just gonna rise up.
Yeah, I think having him at 19, you probably just won't get him because everybody else not is right now on him. Yeah.
Yeah, I probably won't get him right now. But the thing about running back, because of last year, it's overall you're going to see a lot of these names sucked up. So my running back 19, I still might get him at the current ADP because everyone's going to get, you know, there could be runs of running back. So RJ Harvey has been a guy that I've been able to get, but yeah, I'm getting him as like my running back 2, not 3. So you know what I'm saying? Like if I'm going to get aggressive with him, if I'm in an aggressive room, if we're drafting together, you're probably going to get Harvey over me. But in most drafts that I've been in, I've still been able to get him here and there. Because again, the frenzy of running back right now, it's there in spades after last year.
Yep. And then kind of asking you about this too. You see, you're a little lower on him than I am, but the rookie running backs like Quinshon, Caleb Johnson, that pretty much should be locked into the top roles. Travion's there too. I mean, he should be mixing in there. Who's your like favorite of those three rookies?
Travion.
Yeah.
I love Travion. And I love that Travion has the home run ability. He has the chance to not need the volume to just make it happen.
Right.
I would probably imagine I'm lower on Caleb Johnson and Quinshon Judkins than consensus. But I'll be honest, it only will take a number of news reports, decisions roster wise. Mm-hmm. For them to just, because I believe in the talent wholeheartedly. It's just, I've seen Jalen Warren be a thorn in Caleb Johnson's draft capital. Doesn't really say, you know, there's no doubt he's going to get all the chances over Warren. Warren's done enough for Mike Tomlin that if Caleb doesn't absolutely melt faces in OTAs and in training camp, Jalen Warren's going to be a pest. He's going to be a pest. But I do believe in the talent.
What's been the news on Henderson at Patriots OTAs? Anything noteworthy coming out yet? I haven't really heard anything, to be honest.
Quick, explosive. Yeah. People are excited. People are seeing what his capabilities are. And again, here in New England, for better or for worse, it seems to be like history keeps repeating itself. I mean, Josh McDaniels is back for a third time.
Yep.
And Josh McDaniels, as offensive coordinator for this team, has produced guys like Shane Vereen and Danny Woodhead and
Deion Lewis,
James White and Deion Lewis, and none of those running backs are even close to as talented as Travion motherfucking Henderson.
Yeah.
And for me, like this year, two things I've found about this class overall, I'm more excited about the old guys because I'm getting a lot of the young guys late. So I'm okay with that insurance. And the second thing is I've grown to love the players that used to be a thorn in our side when we're making decisions, like we talked about the Dolphins situation. I think it's good that A-Chain isn't going to get 28 touches a game.
Yeah.
So I've grown to love the thorns in the side because it keeps him on the field. And I think the same thing's true for Ramondre. He's going to take more touches than we would like when we look at projections. But when you watch the games and you see what he's getting through the middle, and like he'll have some games where he has two touchdowns and everyone's like, oh, Ramondre Stevenson game. I'll sacrifice that for my Travion Henderson chance for the 30-point games that he'll have being healthy and on the field.
Yeah, I think Ramondre's kind of underrated too, where he's going in drafts. Like, guy, you probably get him after pick 100, and I'll take some Ramondre Stevenson there for sure. Last one on the running backs. Who is like your favorite running back that's like outside the top 24 of your ranks that you think could maybe finish as, if all things go right, could be like an RB1?
It's Javonte Williams for me.
Interesting. Okay.
It's not the player. It's the situation.
Yeah.
And we saw last year Rico Dowdle gain enough value to win fantasy leagues in redraft and garnish second round picks, late firsts in dynasty. That's the type of value we saw in this role. And that's also why I'm very high on Jaden Blue in my rookie drafts and why I've been grabbing him in underdog and I'll be grabbing him in redraft. But we've also just seen this before with the veteran comes in and he just gets, so he's only 25 years old.
Right.
And he's got the contact balance. We've seen him be good in the receiving game. And if we're talking about Dak out there slinging the football, he's going to be on the field for a possibly high powered offense. I could see him just going and being, everyone being like, yep, of course. I mean, I have him at running back 35. So it's not like I've planted my flag, but I do see the path. I do see the path for Mr. Javonte right. Williams.
I have an RB 43, so yeah, that's kind of where I have him. But I could definitely see what you're talking about. Like, if you know things just work out for him that way, and like Jaden Blue isn't that good, like who else are they going to give the ball to? So
I didn't like Jaden Blue the prospect. I'll tell you that right now. So I'm betting on the situation when I get my Jaden Blue shares. But that is one of the worst things to bet on because we've seen it happen time and time again.
Yeah, my best case scenario for Jaden Blue is just be what Tony Pollard was for that offense. If he can do that, I'll be happy.
Light Tony Pollard take it. Yep. Absolutely.
I would say my favorite guy that I think could finish RB1 that's outside my top 24, he was a guy that was going in the top 12 running backs last year, and that was Isaiah Pacheco. Just because he had the leg injury, like he just, when he came back, he just didn't have, I don't know if he didn't trust it or he just didn't have the same stamina, all that, whatever it is. Like Kareem Hunt came in, but Kareem Hunt's analytics weren't very good if you look at him. I just think Pacheco is still set up here to be the RB1, and he should still, like, there's definitely a possibility for double-digit touchdowns here for Pacheco. I think he's, you know, Breshard Smith, if he doesn't hit right away, like, Pacheco's could still be used in the receiving game. Yeah, they have a couple of guys there, but I think Pacheco is just the best overall talent there on a really good offense. He can easily, and it's a Andy Reid offense for running backs, like easily a guy that could finish in the top 12 running backs this year for me would be Pacheco.
I completely agree with you. I just couldn't say him because I have him ranked at running back 24.
Okay, so that's fair. That's fair. Well, I mean, I have him at 26. You have him at 24, so we're pretty close.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you said, though. And I understand at this point of the year, we believe in these rookies, every single one of them. There's a story to tell that every one of them is going to hit. The story to paint for Breshard Smith is that he's a seventh-round guy who's under 200 pounds. Do you understand, people, what it would take for that human being to push aside Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco early on? No, his window for success is injury, and he wows people. That's his That's his path. So don't get it twisted. Breshard Smith, we like the talent. We'll take him in the fourth round of rookie drafts. Take him at the end of the best ball drafts because the upside, you could see it, but heading into the year, you're right. Pacheco is going to go into training camp with the expectation of scoring 10 rushing touchdowns. That will be what they want to do. Will it happen? We'll see what injuries happen, or we'll see if they throw it more. But they're going to expect to use him to win football games in the way they have in the past because they didn't invest at that position that tells us otherwise.
Yep. All right, let's go to wide receivers here. I think my top six – the order could change easily, but I think these top six will go in the first rounds of most drafts. Chase, Lamb, Jefferson, Puka, Neighbors, Amon-Ra. I think those guys are all locked in first round picks in most leagues.
Yep. I do agree with that. Okay. And if you're in a draft with our guy Fizz, you ain't getting Puka at the end of round one. You just ain't.
I mean, yeah, he's set up for a really good season, man. Like, yeah. You know, I've kind of saying, oh, well, Devontae might cut into him a little bit, but I just don't see it. Like, he had Cooper Kupp, and we all said the same thing about Kupp. I fell into it last year. I was drafting a fuck ton of Cooper Kupp. I had him, like, in my top seven or eight wide receivers when it came to the end of last year. But, yeah, I think Puka, like, he just proves it, man. He's just a target hog. Dog. Devontae Adams is going to be good, but I think Puka Nacua is going to be the guy there no matter what. Let's see. Terry McLaurin, I have him at wide receiver 13, and he's never, like, really played that high. Obviously, he finished pretty high last year, but he's always, like, a guy that you could get, like, in the 30s at wide receiver. But am I too high on McLaurin at 13, or what do you think about McLaurin?
I don't think that's too high. That's seven spots better than I have him. I got him at receiver 20, but I think that the situation's there. The volume will be there. The talent is still there. He's been really good, even though he's almost 30 years old. The reason I think the difference between our rankings is I'm betting on Travis Hunter. I'm betting on T. Higgins being healthy. I'm betting on Mike Evans repeating. I'm betting on Ladd McConkey doing what he did next year. And I'm also betting on Jackson Smith and Jigba performing at a top 13 level. So I think, you know, you take those guys and that's a tier. And we're just kind of fiddling with the tier. And I think that's kind of the difference. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think Hunter, I'll probably end up moving up a little bit over time too. Like, you know, like I have Tyreek above him right now. And just respect to Tyreek, honestly. I know last year was 14, awful.
It's respect to Tyreek. Right.
Yeah, so I could see him moving down. I think the one that I moved down quite a bit compared to consensus is Garrett Wilson. I don't want to trust it with Justin Fields. Like, yeah, I know DJ Moore had his best year ever with Justin Fields. I'm not banking on Garrett Wilson getting, you know, 100 catches or 90 something catches. Like, I know he's gotten a fuck ton of targets from some really terrible quarterback play. I'm just not betting on it with Justin Fields in the receiving game. Like, I'd rather just have these Marvin Harrisons, Rashee Rice, McLaurin, Higgins above him. Like, I put Wilson there just because I didn't want to rank him too low for right now, but I could easily move up JSN, Davante Adams, Travis Hunter above him. But yeah, what do you think about Garrett Wilson this year? Are you kind of on the same base as me?
I have him at 11, and that's, again, just respect to the player. But looking at my rankings, kind of hearing what you're saying, I could see him fall outside of my top 24 going into redraft season, getting into the summer. Because, yeah, he's done it with shitty quarterbacks, but the philosophy has been get the ball to Garrett fucking Wilson. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the focus of this offense. I think it's going to be more playing to Justin Fields' strengths. And we saw DJ Moore, just a couple of years, be successful. So I'm not fading Garrett Wilson, but I think it's more of the wide receiver 15-16 range as opposed to where I have him now. And again, guys like Travis Hunter, Rashee Rice, these guys could absolutely skyrocket up my rankings. I right now have them behind Wilson, but I think when it's all said and done, I would have Wilson right behind, probably right around wide receiver 15, 16 is where I'd have him.
Another one that we have a big difference on. I have this guy at 39, and that's Ricky Pearsall, and you have him at 56. So, and I think you have Ayuk and Jennings above him. Is there something on Pearsall that you just don't like this year, or what are your thoughts on him?
This is the year that I will get burned, and I'm okay with that about Ricky Pearsall because I didn't like him as a prospect. I thought he was overdrafted. He wasn't reliable last year in any sort of way in fantasy, so he's just starting negatively for me. And so it's just one of those players I end up not having shares of. I end up fading wholeheartedly. Like, I understand the beginning part of the season he was on the field for good reason, but then he had that big game and then he went into absolute obscurity, faded into basically nothing. And I just, give me the certainty of the guy who's making $30 million a year, and then give me the vet on a Kyle Shanahan team, a guy who just loves the guys that he loves. So of the three, I could see Ricky Pearsall being the guy that he doesn't love. So I'm going to fade him. But okay. Again, just a couple of reports away from going up because he did flash last year. But I'm still going to go on the guys I've just seen a little bit more out of or from than Ricky Pearsall. When you accumulate enough of him, that's how he ends up at wide receiver 56.
Okay. Yeah, he had that stretch last year, like 5 or 6 weeks, where he just kind of completely faded off, but he ended the season really strong. Week 17, mm-hmm. 10 targets, 8 for 141 and a touchdown. And then week 18, 8 targets, 6 for 69 and a touchdown. So I'm kind of thinking maybe he found it. Really good route runner. He's always been one of the better route runners coming out of the draft last year. And I just think in that offense, he's kind of set up. And I'm kind of banking on Ayuk, who had a multi-ligament knee injury. Ayuk kind of being really slow to come back. So it's going to be Jennings, it's going to be Pearsall, and it's going to be Kittle as the main options there, and obviously McCaffrey too. So I like Pearsall a little bit more. I have him and Jennings like back-to-back, and I think I have Ayuk behind both of those guys.
Where do you have Ayuk?
I have him right now at wide receiver 47.
Okay, so we kind of have it swapped. Because I have Ayuk at 39, so it's like I'm betting on Ayuk, you're betting on Pearsall, but we like the role the same.
Yeah, I think I just think with the multi-ligament knee injury. We've kind of seen this. Like, that's going to be a guy who comes slow to come back. And Ayuk has never been like that guy. Like, yeah, he got paid, but he kind of just seems like, oh, I'm gonna, I got my money. I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna dog it a little bit. Yeah. So I think Pearsall and Jennings, those guys are gonna be playing for a little bit more. So that's why I have them there. We'll talk about another former San Francisco guy, Deebo Samuel. I have him at 38, and you have him at, let's see here, you have him at
42.
So yeah, we're pretty close on Deebo. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks like he's gotten in really good shape from the pictures I saw, and kind of the Washington beat reporters were talking about. Man, he looks really good. Do you think we could see a resurgence on Deebo, and you know, him be like a weekly wide receiver 2 to 3 for us?
Yeah, I do. But the bet is, does he stay on the field? Does he get the role? But you can see a world where he's used in a way like that. He gets 16 total touchdowns. Yeah. And in that world, he smashes, but that seems a bit unlikely at this point in his career. But I mean, we're not seeing Terry McLaurin show up to, you know, OTAs early enough. So there is that, you know, kind of rapport being built outside of the McLaurin narrative. And after him, after Scary Terry, Deebo, you could make the argument Deebo. I'll tell you this, Deebo Samuel certainly thinks he's the best wide receiver on that team. I guarantee you that. So there is a world where Deebo absolutely smashes, but 29-year-old guy, new team, just process-wise, I think we're both in the same boat here. We have him where we have him. But again, he's if we're talking here a year from now, we're going to be like, yo, Deebo was nasty for the Commanders. He was on the field a ton. They used him. Just dynamically, like what he can bring to that offense is pretty sick with Cliff Kingsbury and Jayden Daniels.
Yeah, I could definitely see that, like Deebo just having that big a year. And like I could see them even use him at running back a little bit, maybe not as much as San Fran did, but they did want to bring in a running back. They only brought in Krosky Merritt, right, who I really like, but they could still use Deebo as a little bit of a running back too. So I like mm-hmm. him. And then our final question on the wide receivers, like who's that guy? We'll say after like the top 40 on your rankings that you think could finish as like a it's really hard to get the wide receiver one, but like maybe a solid wide receiver two for us. Is there anybody on there that you think could get to that spot?
I'm going to pick a receiver, and he's probably, I would say, the candidate right now for the most polarizing player in fantasy in terms of discord between love and hate. I'm going to go with Roma Dunze. You got Roma Dunze at 47, but I have DJ Moore ranked all the way up at wide receiver 18, and just process-wise, I have to acknowledge that could swap. What I like about DJ Moore, I also love about Roma Dunze. Roma Dunze is an unbelievably talented wide receiver. I'm strongly on the side of pro Roma Dunze. We've seen like you know the negative discourse get pretty loud as well. I believe in the player. I believe in the talent. I believe in the connection. I believe in the draft capital. I believe in the offense, obviously. If he's the wide receiver one in this offense, he's going to be amazing. And there's nothing in the profile athletically, college performance-wise, or even you know draft guy. It really just looks at it. This is a guy who was picked to be a top 10 receiver in football. And, you know, you can't completely discount it. I am because I'm a huge DJ Moore guy, but I obviously love Caleb. We talked about him a little bit ago. So I just have to acknowledge that my love for DJ Moore is making me very confident in the role, in the volume in this offense. That's why I'm going him inside the top 20 and Roma Dunze is at 47. But I'd be a fool to not acknowledge that could be completely flip-flopped based on all the factors around Rome. So for that reason, you know, I got him at 47. I'm pretty timid in draft rooms, but I'm completely acknowledging the fact that he could be, the tribal chief of this offense.
Yeah, I have Rome at 34. I have him and DJ a lot closer. So I have Rome a little bit higher than that range. But I agree. Rome could have a really good season. I like that call. And then I would say my guy outside of my top 40 right now, and it's hard to like kind of pinpoint some of these guys that could be like a wide receiver too. Like some of them just don't have great quarterbacks or they're the number two or three on their team. But I think the one that could be the number one on their team, they didn't do a whole lot at this position in free agency or the draft. And that's Khalil Shakir for Buffalo. Like I could just see him being a guy that could catch 6, 7, 8 balls a game. and just be a reliable target. This is going to be, I believe, his third or fourth season now. With Buffalo.
Extended him, too.
Yeah, extended him. Like, all they brought in was Josh Palmer. They didn't bring back Amari Cooper. Keon Coleman. I can also say Coleman for this answer, too, honestly. Like, Coleman just has, like, a 10-touchdown season as the big target.
He's just Plaxico Burress out there.
Right, yeah. So I could see that. But I think Shakir I would take as, like, a guy that can get you a consistent, you know, 6-7 catches a week, you know, 60, 70 yards. Some weeks he'll have 100, get a couple touchdowns in there. I think I'm going to go with Shakir on that one as a guy that could maybe sneak into like a top 24 to 25 wide receiver weekly for us, just because there isn't really too much there. I think, James Cook might hold out so that, you know, the running game could not as strong as this year too. And they might have to throw it a little more early. Defense has a lot of new pieces, so that defense is going to have to gel together. There could be some mistakes, so they get behind, have to throw the ball a little bit more. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Khalil Shakir on that answer.
Love that. Love that call.
All right, we'll finish it up here with the tight ends. I think the tight ends are pretty easy this year. Like, Bowers and McBride, you get those guys high. Those are probably second to third round picks. George Kittle, probably, you know, a round or two after that, maybe round four or five. And then after that is like another drop for tight ends. And then you got Hockenson, Laporta in their own tier. And then after that, it's like just a giant tier of the rest of the tight ends. But yeah, do you kind of agree with me on that?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Wholeheartedly. I'm more often than not, I'm just waiting on Kelsey. He's coming off the board tight end 9 after pick 100. That's been my number one target. And if I miss, then just I'm sending it, baby. I'll press my luck with one of these rookies, either Loveland or Warren, take a shot on a third year breakout from Kincaid or Dallas, you know, old school Dallas Goedert. Isaiah Likely is getting buzz in Baltimore talking about an extension candidate. So I'm just sending it if I don't get Kelsey, because I love Bowers and McBride. They're just going in ranges where I'm just not looking for tight end. You know, when you're as up to date in warp like we are here at South Harmon, you realize that, yeah, there can be difference makers at tight end, but even Brock Bowers in your standard non-tight end premium leagues was the 24th most valuable player in fantasy. So you just tend to stay away from tight ends. So right now, my biggest value, my favorite tight end to get right now is Travis Kelce and bet on just one more year, Trav. One more.
Yeah, that's my thing with Kelce is I saw the decline last year, you know.
The decline was tight end 5, though. That's the thing I can't get Jake.
Right.
He's bad. He looked like an old man. It wasn't like he's going to look even more like any more of an old man. He's going to look like an old man like he did last year.
Yeah.
And just sheer being Travis Kelce was tight end 5.
Right. Yep. I've just done the sheer volume. I get it. I just think
if he was going tight end 5, I would invest. I have him ranked at tight end 5. And if his ADP was 5 or better, I'd have no Travis Kelce. But we're talking about tight end 9.
Yeah, that's where I have him at is tight end 9. So that's where I have him at currently.
Yeah,
and
so
I think,
if I had him at thing, I wouldn't touch.
Right. I think with Rashee Rice hopefully healthy, Hollywood Brown finally healthy, Worthy in there. You know, they brought in Jalen Royals too. They still have a couple of tight ends, a running back getting healthy again. Like, I just think the volume is not going to be there for Kelce like it was last year because they didn't have anybody again. Like, but I think I'm just knocking on wood here. Hopefully Rashee's healthy again. Hollywood's healthy. These guys don't get hurt. And we kind of see that full offense that they wanted to run all of last year that kind of got derailed with all those injuries early on. So that's why I think I have Kelce a little bit further behind. Like I have Evan Engram at 7. I'm really interested to see Evan Engram in the Denver offense. They signed him for a reason to play this special role. And I think he could really, really thrive in that role, especially with Bo Nix and the way his accuracy is and all that. Like, I think Evan Engram could be set up to have a huge year. So I have him at tight end 7. I have Colston Loveland at tight end 11. I'm liking Loveland this year. Definitely like him better than Cole Kmet. And they didn't waste the 10th round or 10th overall pick on Colston Loveland to not use him. So I like him. What about Dalton Kincaid? Do you think he could have a little bit of a bounce back?
I'm still not out. I'll be honest. I'm not out. I'm at tight end 13. I'm not out. And the reason being is Josh Allen in the situation you just painted when we were talking about receiver, that there is room for someone to take that wide receiver 1 in the offense role. And Dalton Kincaid's the only first round pick. Dalton Kincaid, you know, if he could be Dawson Knox reliable to Josh Allen with Dalton Kincaid's ability, yeah, why can't he be a tight end one in fantasy football? I don't have him ranked there just quite yet. But, I mean, in that range, I'm really just betting on wishes. I'm betting on Kyle Pitts. I'm betting on Dalton Kincaid. I'm betting on Tyler Warren. So you're just kind of betting on talented players, and hopefully they can do it in the NFL. But, yeah, I'm not completely out on Kincaid, I'll be honest.
Okay. And then last question here on the tight ends. Who is, like, your tight end maybe outside the top 20 that you think could maybe be a tight end one for us this year?
I'm going to go with two. No, I'm going to go with one. I'm just going to go with one. Jatavion Sanders.
Okay.
There's a lot of people that are very excited about Gunnar Helm, who would obviously that would make a breakout for Jatavion unlikely. So
well, Helm's on the Titans, I think.
Oh, wait. Who would they draft then? Who would they bring in?
The Panthers. They drafted Cole Mitchell. Mitchell Evans.
So if there has been a crowd that are, you know, you both of us listen to Todd McShay, he's pretty high on Evans. There are some in that believe he could be good in the NFL, and if you're one of those, you're not going to believe in Jatavion. I believe in Jatavion. I think we were just starting to see him cook, and he got dumped on his head and had a scary neck injury, and it's obvious for obvious reasons, it just wasn't the same after that. But he's young enough to bounce back, only 22 years old, so a full offseason. I'm expecting to be healthy. And again, this offense after Tet McMillan is wide open. I mean, can Thielen do it again? We'll see. Xavier Leggett did not prove a damn thing about garnishing targets from Bryce Young. And we love Chuba Hubbard because he's pretty much the only show in town, but they don't have like a workhorse back prototype on that team that they're just going to run with. I think their road to success and what they're hoping for in year two of Dave Canales is to chuck the rock. So I think we will see more passing there, but I'm obviously timid on the offense in terms of in practice. Sanders at tight end 26, Bryce Young quarterback 23. So I'm not betting on it per se, but if we're talking about narratives here, I can see a path where Bryce Young's the number one overall pick talent wise in his, you know, second year with Dave Canales, and along for the ride could be a guy that it could just be touchdown upside, not the consistent volume, but Jatavion Sanders is going to have a role in that offense.
Yeah, and then Tommy Tremble suffered a back injury, and he's probably going to be out till training camp. So I think that was a lot of the Sanders hype that we've been hearing recently. So I could definitely see it if he, you know, gets it together. I know Mitchell Evans is probably more the complete tight end that can block and do a little bit of the receiving, but Sanders is more the receiving option. So I could definitely see that hitting. I think the guy that I have some confidence in is Chig Okonkwo. And that was because of the way he ended last year, man. I'm going to pull his stats up here real quick. If I can find him on this list, there he is. To end the year last year, same coordinator, same offense, basically. Week 15, 10 targets, 8 for 59. Week 16, 11 targets, 9 for 81. And then week 17, 7 targets, 5 for 42. So he was getting hyper-targeted there at the end of last year, and they started to use him more. And the Titans didn't do shit as far as, you know, bringing in like marquee weapons. Like, yeah, they brought in a lot of rookies, the Chimere DKs, the Alec Amanors. They brought in Gunnar Helm as well, but they didn't really bring in, you know, any high profile players. So it's still Calvin Ridley. And I think Chig Okonkwo is still going to be a big part of this offense. We always see young quarterbacks use their tight ends a lot. So I could see Chig Okonkwo finally having that breakout season. Like, this is like his fourth year in the league. He should finally start getting it going. So I like him. And then a bonus one, Juwan Johnson for the Saints. He's the only guy that actually has a connection to Tyler Shuck. They played at Oregon in like 2018 together.
No kid. Damn.
Yeah. He has a little bit of connection with Tyler Shuck. And then, you know, it's Olave, it's Shaheed, and that's really it. Like, so I think Juwan Johnson, and especially you look at Kellen Moore's usage of tight ends in his career with Terrence Ferguson and Dallas Goedert last year. Like, he uses the tight end. He's even talked about using the tight ends quite a bit in his system. So I think Juwan Johnson is another guy that could be a sneaky guy that could end up as a tight end, back end tight end one for us this year.
Yes, I do. That'd be interesting. Yeah, it's one of those. That would be a cold splash of water. But we've seen that kind of happen at this position, especially the tight end. I think the one that always will always come back to me. Remember Jared Cook for the Raiders? Feels like 100 years ago. He was just like tight end 7 that year, and you just could pick him up after week one.
Yeah. He had a really good year with the Packers 1 year too. Mm-hmm. Remember the Gary Barnage year for the Browns?
It was Gary Barnage, yeah.
That was we picked up off waivers.
There was a good run there for us fantasy gamers where a complete nobody was a top 5 to 8 tight end. It seems like that just kind of shifted, but you know, we're not that far removed from those days.
I'm so old, I remember picking up Antonio Gates his rookie year, so that shows you how old I am. Nice. But yeah, that's going to be it for the rankings part of this. Really good discussion. Like I said, you'll be able to purchase these rankings here probably like a week or so once we get it finally tuned and set up for everybody. So be on the lookout for that. We'll post it on our socials and all that so you guys can start using these for your underdog drafts, your home redraft leagues, all that. And they'll be constantly updated. I'm going to keep mine constantly updated for you guys as well as we get more news and all that as it comes along. So with that, you ready for America's favorite game? Then we'll get on out of here.
Yes, sir.
All right. This one I was thinking of earlier because I was doing my my rankings and I had the old iTunes on and had it on shuffle, and then some stuff came up. So here it is. What is your favorite wrestling theme song? Like your wrestler's entrance music. What's your favorite one of all time?
Obviously, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, the glass breaking. That's my favorite. Okay. That's my favorite one. It's the one. It's. It's my favorite one. And now, like, being old enough to get the docs coming out of that era, and you remember the strut, the glass breaking, and just to this second, Money in the Bank this weekend, if that glass shatters, it's gonna freak out. Yeah, it's just it's the best.
Yep. I would say mine is the Evolution theme song. I always love the Evolution theme song that Lemmy wrote from Motorhead for Triple H. He always did Triple H's theme songs and stuff. So I always love that one. That one's always really good. I always loved Randy Orton's first one, the Burning My Light one.
Okay.
I always loved that one. I love CM Punk's, obviously, now.
CM Punk's, both of them were awesome.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes is a fucking banger right now.
He's going to go in the Mount Rushmore, and it's because of the crowd. It's not even necessarily the song. Right. It's the woe. The woe is the most electrifying thing in sports period right now.
Yeah, I love that one. I have like 17 different versions of the Rock song, so like the Rock's one always gives me like goosebumps almost, like just kind of listening to that one. Man, there's so many other ones. I always loved Dolph Ziggler's one.
Dolph Ziggler had a pretty good one.
Yep.
I love Seth Rollins too right now. I love the start with the Burn It Down. I love it.
Yeah, I just think it's so generic. Like his and like Dean Ambrose, when Ambrose was around, it was just so generic. I liked Roman Reigns as like when he was the heel one, not this new one. I don't like this new one as much. I think the original, the original one was really good. God, I have so many wrestling theme songs that are just crazy on here. Old school Bret Hart's is always fucking great.
Oh, yeah. Shawn Michaels the guitar
is
riff.
Always great. Yeah. Chris Benoit's WWE one, I always love that one. Christian always had really good fucking bangers in WWE. Yeah. God, there's so many. Oh, this is the what made me think of it. The Dudley Boys fucking song from WWE, where they had the things came down. Oh, dude, that was a fucking great song too.
There's been a lot of great theme songs, but
we could
me,
go on forever.
The thing for me that I just always gravitate towards, my favorite ones are the when you can give me something to do for your entrance. When I'm either at home or at the, you know, watching in person, you get bumped up in my rankings. And it's something about having something right off the bat that creates the biggest pops. So like that's why I love like the "You Think You Know Me," or the "I Hear For." It's just when you know, it's just like, because when they return from an injury, when they're surprising the crowd, it's like you don't it's not even a second into the song and you're already jumping out of your seat.
Yep. How about
so you gotta love it.
here's my hot take one, and I know Cody Rhodes has said he agrees with me on this one, that WCW Hulk Hogan, the American Made, is better than the WWE Hulk Hogan song.
Blasphemy. No way. I am a real American. To this day, I hear it, and it's like...
Oh, so do I. I love it still, but I think the WCW American Made version's better.
The OG I Am a Real American, it's probably the song I've listened to the most of all wrestling songs of all time. I love going down the road of nostalgia with wrestling. That's the best part of wrestling is nostalgia.
And yeah, and then I forgot one. I was going to mention this one. Now I'm glad I remembered it. My other favorite one is WCW Jeff Jarrett, like the old Kid Rock cowboy sounding one, like a knockoff. I fucking love Jeff Jarrett. I've always been a Jeff Jarrett fan. Yeah. And then NWO. You got to love the NWO song.
Of course. NWO is iconic. It's the second most recognizable, like, whatever you want to call it, story of that era. Everyone knows the Bash at the Beach. I mean, it's historic. But where do you stand in terms of the scale for Gangrel? Remember Gangrel?
Yeah, that was an awesome.
That was entrance. Kind of a banger. Yeah, that was kind of a banger.
I always loved Rey Mysterio shooting up out of the stage too. That was always cool. There's just been some iconic ones. There's also some weird ones too, like the Hardy Boys song is like just some generic like. Song that's like in some album somewhere, and like I've randomly, like, obviously AEW stole it, but like I've heard it on like commercials and like background music for shit. Like it's not owned by WWE, but like that's like even a really good one. Like I was never a big Hardy Boys fan, but that's as soon as you hear it, you know what the fuck it is.
What's your favorite new theme? So like let's call the Seth Rollins, like era. The guys who've been around, don't count that, can't count Cena, can't count Paul, of the new crop. Could be even NXT if you want, but what's your favorite?
That one's tough. I think I'm gonna go with Sami Zayn. I think I like
Sami Zayn's is fantastic.
Yeah, I actually like his NXT, the first one he had, better. I think it's called Lower the Boom or something like that. I like that one better than his current one. But I always like the Sami Zayn one. Yeah, I'll go with that.
For me, this is one of the reasons. For a number of reasons, I think he's going to be a mega star. Trick Williams.
Okay. Yeah.
Love the Trick Williams. I love the Trick Williams. The crowd interactions, and then of course, Joe Hendry. My kids know the words of the Joe Hendry. Yeah,
Joe Hendry is iconic right now. Like for the theme song, as soon as you hear it, you know it. Oh, that's my favorite for right now is Solo Sikoa. Solo Sikoa is fucking.
Solo's is sick. Yes, Solo Sikoa. Solo's a megastar. I hope they don't like. I hope they let him continue.
I hope he wins some money in the fucking bank. Honestly,
oh, that would be sick. Yeah, him with the suit and the briefcase for a calendar year would kind of slap, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think he's like the favorite or anything, but I would love to see.
It's pretty wide open, though. It's pretty wide open. Let me ask you this about Money in the Bank before we got out here. Sure. Are we gonna see Chad Gable double dip, or is it gonna be revealed that he's not El Grande Americano?
I don't know. I think they keep it going because I think it's going pretty good right now. So I think he just double dipped. Isn't he supposed to wrestle on the
he's double dipping
show?
As both characters.
That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah. Which of any superstar in that entire locker room, he would be my number one pick to be able to throw two bangers in one day.
Oh yeah. Yeah. For
that
sure.
guy is so fundamentally sound, and he is fucking awesome. Chad Gill is going to kill it. And when he won it against, it just proves CM Punk's going to fuck Seth Rollins. There's no way Seth Rollins is winning. But I think that'll make for some good fucking television, though.
Yeah, I could definitely see Solo being the winner there because like he's kind of gone stale since after his Roman stuff. So I'm kind of hoping they put it on him and kind of put some shine back on him because I'm not saying like he's the greatest wrestler in the world, but I like the character. The theme music's a fucking banger. So yeah.
Yep. And he sold the Samoan Spike is one of my least favorite finishers, and he makes it look pretty fucking sick.
He makes
sick.
It look good. Yep.
I think, too, what would be good about him is he wouldn't have to – there'd be no pressure for him to cash. He could hold it until the werewolf, Jacob Fatu, steals, the Raw belt in his whatever stint at the end, a calendar year from now almost. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he doesn't have to be a rush. I think, obviously, CM Punk, he's probably going to cash while Cena's champ. yeah, I kind of don't really want to see that. I don't really care. I'm pissed that Carmelo and Andrade is not in the ladder match, because I think both of them would be fucking awesome for the ladder match. But I'm happy for Andrade, but he's not winning.
Yeah.
But Solo, I think, is I think Solo is a sick dark horse. And I heard one that I thought was interesting is if El Grande Americano wins, it's almost like a character placeholder for a young guy to just reveal himself to be El Grande Americano, because the person could be, I am him, and it could be Ricky Saints or whoever they catapult to the top in 6 months. I don't know if that's true, but I heard someone else say that. I was like, oh, it's pretty smart thinking.
Yeah, okay. Those are good ones. But all right, let's wrap it up here, though, because I know you got to get going here. But before we go, I just want to mention Warp Tool on the website. Always really good tool to use right now for your redraft leagues, for your dynasty leagues. Kind of check out the Warp on any of your leagues, man. That's a really good time to check out that stuff right now. Certified shit, certified sh.it. Go there for Fanatics. You know, you're not getting any codes or anything, but you're kind of helping us out when you buy your own Fanatics gear. You're kind of giving us a little tip in our tip jar. Hopefully we can get some codes for you guys here in the future if this partnership continues to do really well for them. So I'd love to see that. Team reviews right now are another big one that we've been doing. I love doing the team reviews for you guys. That is dynastyteamreview.com. Go ahead, sign up there. You can get myself and Maddie together. If you want just Maddie, you want myself or Mike, Adam, whoever, Koopa. We're all on there available for you guys to do team reviews. So if you have a team that needs a little help, you need a direction to where to go or what to do next, trades. If you haven't had your rookie draft late yet, if you want to know how to use your picks, all that good stuff is on there. So we'll be more than happy to help you guys out with that. So dynastyteamreview.com, sign up there for any of your team reviews. I mentioned earlier, we'll have the redraft positional ranking sheet out there. If you want dynasty rankings, if you join patreon.com/SouthHarmon, you join the $8 tier, you get access to all of our dynasty rankings. I'm on there, Maddie, T-Rock, all those guys are all on there, Mike and Adam as well. So you guys can see our dynasty ranks as well for any of your startups that you're doing. But yeah, anything else that I missed, Maddie, before we get on out of here?
Yeah, make sure you're subscribed to all three now of our South Harmon YouTube channels. We have, of course, South Harmon Dynasty, South Harmon Vibes, but new to the scene, the South Harmon Fantasy Football channel. Make sure you subscribe. Me, Eric, Seth Ewald, throwing the videos on there. We got right now some league winner stuff, some best and worst landing spots, and Eric goes through every single rookie position, how you should kind of game plan this upcoming rookie crop in fantasy football. So head over to South Harmon Fantasy Football channel. Make sure you subscribe, like all the videos, become a member, start rocking with us over there.
Yep, definitely. I'm going to be posting some more here soon. Going to have to do another video here soon for you guys as well. So we'll do that. And yeah, thank you for joining me as always, Maddie. Always a pleasure to have you on, man. You can follow him at Maddie Kiwoom on X. You can follow me at Eric Vanek NFL and at America's Game Pod as well. So with that, we will be back next week for episode 98. We'll see you guys.